All right, I think we give everyone some time. So to respect those that are here, we can start. Lisa, you want to do a call to order?
I sure can. So we can call the meeting of the Economic Development Commission of November 10th, 2021 to order. It is 5:01 p.m. And if you'd like, I will call the roll. Commissioner Brown?
Here.
Commissioner Wahlfeldt?
Here.
Commissioner Lowe?
Here.
Commissioner Graham?
Here.
Commissioner Preston?
Here.
Commissioner Brangle? Commissioner Holt? Commissioner Chipwankar? All right, you have a quorum. You've got five members present. So if the others arrive, we'll note it and update the minutes.
Great. Anyone there? Any public comments? Anyone on the phone? Hearing none or seeing none, we can go on to development updates.
Let's do approval of minutes, Kyler.
Oh, I didn't see that on here. Am I looking at the wrong?
I did update the agenda to include the September 20th event.
Maybe I don't have them. Let me jump on, see if I have something else here. All right, did everyone get a chance to review the minutes or have any questions? No, I don't have that. So if I veer off our agenda, excuse me, I have a different agenda in front of me. All right, can I get a motion to approve the minutes stated then?
So moved.
Second?
Wahlfeldt, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
All right.
On mine, I have development updates next. Blake and Lathrop?
Yeah. Okay. And Tim Brangle has arrived, so let me let him in a minute.
Nah.
Hi, Tim.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Tim. Hello. We just did roll call and approve the minutes, so you didn't miss anything.
Wait, I object.
Christ. Kick him back out of the whole Zoom. Christ. Now that I have everyone on here, one of the things that, you know, with most people, I would like to, I have everyone's information with your, if you have an issue with it, maybe let me know offline if you don't want to know. I'd like to have an email thread for sure, but then also a text thread so that we can communicate.
Hold on. Careful.
Open Meetings.
Oh, Open Meetings Act. Can't do it.
What's that?
Can't do it. Open Meetings Act.
Okay, so what can we do? How can we communicate?
During meetings.
Okay.
And if there's information that any member of the group would like shared with the rest of the group, you can email it to me and I can distribute it to you. There cannot be communication of a majority of a quorum without violating the Open Meetings Act.
Yeah, I thought there was something like that.
Your safest bet is the rule of two. If there's more than two of you, my advice to you is to wait until there's a commission meeting.
Mm. Sit on opposite sides of the table.
Well, okay. Well, I'm going to try to communicate with each one of you individually a little bit more often than perhaps. I don't want to bother you guys. I really don't. I also want us to be strategic and to get as much done as we can. And I don't know, quite frankly, if a meeting once a month, you know what I mean? Like if something pops up, I just would like to be able to reach out. But anyways,
I agree.
Yeah. You know, I agree. I think that makes sense because I think it's also, obviously we got to stay on the right side of the act, but it's going to make the meetings more productive. Totally. There is kind of more frequent communication.
Totally.
Than getting level set, you know, once a month.
Yeah. And I think, you know, part of it, and this is nothing to previous chairs, I think people were just doing things in a certain way and I totally get it. But, you know, if Lisa, you reel me in when I need to, there's some things that I think that would help us maybe communicate better and be more productive here. Cause I don't think we've, as a committee, done everything we can do to get some things done. And I think we could do a little bit better.
Well, frankly, Kyler, I think it's going to fall more on you to kind of be the point person for the one-on-ones. So I said, reaching out to me, I'm fine with it. But I think, as I said, you're going to be probably having maybe the same conversation 3, 4, 5 times.
And I'm okay doing that. I like this stuff, man. You know, so I'm good. And it's good to hear from people and hear their ideas. And, it would, you know, y'all are interesting people. So if I make 8 new friends, hey, it's not the worst thing in the world. All right. So to that end, just know that you might see something like that. And Lisa, thank you for reminding us about the act. I knew there was a reason we couldn't do it to that degree. So development updates. I know a little bit about this. I don't know how you want to handle. I don't know. We can kind of give, Lisa, maybe it's best because you probably have the most details. I have pretty high level on Lake and Lathrop, but I can certainly jump in.
Sure. So I don't have anybody else in the room with me, so I'm taking my mask off. So at the October 25th board meeting, as I'm sure everybody has heard, the Village Board approved an amendment to the redevelopment agreement with Sedgwick, modifying the construction commencement date for the development. So they had 90 days from October 25th, so that brings them to January 22nd or 23rd, to commence bona fide construction. Bona fide construction is defined in the redevelopment agreement. In order to meet their target date for commencement of bona fide construction, there are a variety of things that need to happen and different benchmarks essentially that they have to meet. One of the initial benchmarks was to pay the village $50,000 of the permit fee. So that's not the full permit fee, but it's a portion of it, in order to obtain an early start permit so that they could begin site excavation and foundation work. They have paid the $50,000 fee. They have picked up their early start permit. The developer shared with me last week that they are planning to mobilize crews on site within the coming days here, and that we would anticipate some measure of excavation work beginning, hopefully as early as next week, possibly later in the week. And obviously, again, all of this is weather dependent, but they are moving. They reported to the board at the October 25th meeting that they have sold an additional penthouse unit. In fact, I think somebody bought two of the penthouse units into one.
Yeah. It's actually, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's one of the biggest, gotta be one of the biggest condo sales in the area ever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, there's a lot of momentum. They're at, I want to say that 14th unit brings them to like 63% pre-sold, but they're somewhere between 60 and 65. And we haven't gotten an update from them since. We have another board meeting coming up in about 12 days here. So we should hear a little bit more. They're continuing their efforts to lease the commercial space. I know they had one letter of intent that had moved into a lease phase, and they were looking at other LOIs with commercial tenants.
So the letter of intent, I talked to the developer. It's a good one. It's a good one. It's a neat opportunity. They're just going back and forth on who's going to do the construction and what kind of allowances are going to be there to do the leasehold. That may already be, they thought they were going to wrap it up. They were there in principle. It's just a matter of, you know, who's going to do the, I mean, obviously the developer is going to do the construction. It's just a matter of exactly what kind of allowance is going to be available there. You know, $200 a square foot, whatever it is, or, you know, they're trying to put their construction budget together. So it should be nice. I mean, it's good momentum on the retail side is all.
But I don't think Annie's needs that much of a build out allowance. Just kidding. <No.
laughs> Raise your hand if you wouldn't take Annie's back in a heartbeat, right? For sure.
What type of business is the collar, can you say?
It's a restaurant. It's restaurant, a well-known group.
Great.
I don't know if I could, you know, I don't want
to. No, that's fine. That's all I wanted to know. Yeah. That's good enough.
Yeah.
That's great.
They've been looking at, and I think what they've shared, and without sharing specific tenants, they've been looking at retail, restaurant, medtail tenant. They've got 14,000 square feet of space to fill. At one time they reported they had 17,000 square feet of interest. So there has been, like I said, a lot of momentum building. Each time they've come to the board to report potential sales, they've sold additional units. So it is positive momentum. So the village's clawback provisions remain in place until they meet all of the requirements within the RDA for that those reversion rights to burn off. But in the meantime, they're in place, and we will continue to update the village's website. So if you go to, and I'll drop it in the chat in case anybody wants to go to it. We update it every time there's news to share, vrf.us/Lake and Lathrop. That is all things Lake and Lathrop. And we will continue to share information in the coming weeks.
Do you have any questions?
Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
No, it's good progress. That's great.
Yeah.
And I like the positivity in the group. I think most of us in kind of in this industry or to some degree know that we you can't shift developers midstream on something like this. And there's been a lot of issues and a lot of headwinds that they've had to deal with. And some of it's been on their side. Some of it's just been macro stuff they can't handle. Right now, condos are actually doing real well in the area, you know, generally in the suburbs. And so there's some things are heading in the right direction. I think positivity does help, especially when we're dealing with the community in general. But at the same time, I'm not just saying, hey, just be positive. But if there's issues, we should try to work them out. But I think everything's been positive for the most
part. Is there anything that the village can do to help continue to support the remaining leasing? I mean, I'm kind of curious, you know, restaurant use. Is there enough parking? Did they, you know, are they investigating that? You know, anything, Lisa, that you've heard that... that they've asked the village about that would need assistance on?
So those are all things that are considered during the plan development process and the zoning entitlement process. As you may recall, the project was originally approved up to 30 residential units. The amount of commercial space has not changed. Over time, they have opted to drop a floor, basically to remove one floor. So that has reduced them down to 22 units. Now that they have a penthouse that's been combined into one or is intended to be combined into one, that drops them down to 21 units. My recollection is that there are 86 on-site covered parking spaces within the building. So that was, I don't remember exactly, if somebody's better at math than I am, you can maybe figure it out, but 86 parking spaces, there was a certain number of those that were dedicated to the residential units and then some portion of it that had to be dedicated to the commercial units. And so with the change in the number of residential units, that only improves the parking ratio on site for those residential property owners and also commercial tenants. So that is something, like I said, though, that was considered. The village also acquired a parking lot at Franklin nearby that was a strategic purchase made a couple of years ago to help alleviate some of the parking burden. And there is a sufficient amount, or there's certainly a lot of on-street parking on Lake Street. So so that is something that is considered as part of the zoning entitlement process. They had to prepare a traffic and parking study as part of that, and a reputable weighed in at that time.
Got it. I'm just trying to get out ahead of it to make sure that if the restaurant needs parking, which they will, that you know they'll be comfortable. So that was my reason for the question.
But it's a good question. You know, what are we doing? How are we helping the developers get the retail partner, you know, to lease up their space? You know, are we looking at tax, you know, help? Are we looking at, you know, to get some of these guys in here? Are we looking at parking spaces? No, those are the questions we should be asking. So. And letting our developers know to come ask us, you know, do they know that they can even come ask us to say, hey, we need some help. We're trying to attract these guys here. What can we do?
Yeah, the village entertains conversations with prospective developers as interest arises. And in the Central Commercial District where this is located, the village has some pretty helpful parking requirements for commercial businesses, because we recognize that this is a little bit of a challenged space in terms of locating off-street parking. So our own zoning regulations are set up to help businesses locate in this area and not to put something on them that's burdensome that they cannot meet, just realistically. I would say that we are well positioned to do that. We're certainly always looking at those things, but throughout the plan development process, applicants don't have to meet the definition of a zoning hardship, which is a separate threshold to seek relief for any prospective project. So anything with multifamily has to go through plan development or PUD, we just use them interchangeably. And they can seek what we call site development allowances, which is a very fancy term for zoning relief that doesn't require that hardship threshold. And so in this situation, the developer sought, you know, some site development allowances for some bulk standards, some parking requirement. That is something that's set up as part of that process so that the village can consider each of those things on a non-precedent setting and case-by-case basis.
Okay, well, I think it's important to kind of keep track of what's working to lease up these spaces, because we're going to have hopefully something on Park and on Madison as well, that we're going to be going through the similar situation. So while certainly your feedback on things like this, what the tenants are looking for these days would be great.
Yeah, that's what I do, right? I work with retailers and, you can have a signed lease, but it doesn't mean you have a done deal. Yeah, and so they'll have contingencies there. So, I'm sure, this whole PUD, I'm sure the signage was already, there's an understanding by the developer of what kind of signage they can give and everything. So just trying to be basically, village friendly, if you will, towards the tenants to help them lease it up, so they don't look at it and say, this is a residential neighborhood. You know, am I going to be limited on my parking, limited on my signage, limiting on my use? So, the more we can do to kind of foster that impression that, hey, we're going to be willing to work with you within reason. That's where I was going.
Yeah, and about a year ago, I think you bring up a great point about signage. The village updated its sign ordinance about a year ago and took care to make sure that, like sandwich board signs would be allowed in the central commercial district to help create that pedestrian environment. Blade signs are allowed. We call them projecting signs in the code, but same thing, right? Those are allowed in certain zoning classifications to help with identification, again, in that pedestrian environment. So we updated a few things just to try to make it a path of less resistance for a business who wants to come in and needs to ensure that they have proper site signage.
Awesome.
Along with that should be the ability to use the sidewalk in the warmer months for outdoor activities.
Yeah.
With a control, and particularly with COVID, this isn't going away tomorrow. So there should be some flexibility, which in the past River Forest wasn't real flexible on that stuff.
Some of it comes down to the sidewalk width. We do have to make sure there's a sufficient lane for ADA purposes. I think where there's will, there's a way, and we always want to work with people. And I think there was some element of alfresco dining that was or certainly outdoor seating that was contemplated as part of Lake and Lathrop.
I know the people I've talked to on Park and Lake that's the first thing they ask. Mm-hmm. Can we sit outdoors?
Yeah.
Cool. Any other questions? Otherwise we can. So this one's headed in the right direction.
Great.
It's been good news, a long time coming. But hopefully, we'll see people out. People will be out there. I think that'll help with the general public, view of the project. We'll see some more work there. Business retention and attraction strategies. Last time we talked, I think one of the things that we knew was something we could do right away was to reach out to the clients and help pay their chamber fees for a year. I think this helps not only it's a quick way to spend a little bit of money to help the client, the different businesses in the area, but also helps our chamber, who's been amazingly supportive. Do we have an update there?
Liz and I had done some research on how much that might cost and what we might need to do. And Liz, I think you and I need to connect and circle back on this. So we can get some information out. I think it would be a great piece to advertise before the holidays so that they can take advantage of chamber promotions.
Yeah, I agree. I think there was two things we needed to touch base on, and that was the membership for businesses, and then it was also the supplementing the ad costs for the digital and the print gift guide.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Wednesday Journal and the Chamber have partnered together to do a gift guide insert into the print newspaper, then and also online, a digital version. The kind of point of difference from other gift guides is that we're really focusing on making sure that service-based businesses have an opportunity to go in there. So it's not just restaurants or food businesses and retail, but and service-based. So, you know, massage, acupuncture, get your house cleaned, whatever that looks like. And so, you know, I've kind of worked with the Wednesday Journal to bring their advertising prices down to about 1990 standards or ad rates, which are pretty darn low. There's an additional discount for chamber members. And then we're working, you know, I had sent Lisa, I hope I didn't put you on the spot. I think I sent you an email, I don't know, 4 or 5 days ago, and I'm sure it might've got lost in the fray. But we're working with both of the villages to see about some additional funds that might just help to supplement those, the ad costs for any business who chooses to advertise.
I think that's great. It's not going to be enough, right?
Well,
we know that.
Well, but right. I mean, it's never going to be enough.
No.
That's exactly it. I mean, it's just not. And, you know, it's all we can do is keep trying, you know, and I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think it's something we need to, this is one that might be a shower thought, you know, someone's going to be sitting around, they're going to be talking to one of the business owners in the area and it's going to come to them. I think that we should take this time, since we can't email each other, you know, when those, you know, whatever, feel free to email me if you have ideas and I'll put them on the, or Lisa, we'll put them on the agenda. Cause we need to be real creative around this, or not creative. We just need to copy someone else who's doing something. I don't care, but we need to continue to think of, ways to help our businesses.
So the chamber is putting together, I'm sorry that I'm looking like this. I've got a stomach bug. And so, you don't want to come near me.
You don't hear Tim apologizing.
Right. So our members of our executive committee are actually meeting tonight, and we've got a short list of about 10 recommendations for each of the two villages as to how we think that we can move forward. Just with ideas, you know. So one example of one of the ideas we've come up with is sort of sharing employees. So we've talked to a number of businesses in Oak Park, and they're telling us that a lot of their employees or the people coming in and applying for jobs are actually coming out of the city. And so, you know, we're looking at how do we allow people to come into the city and park for the whole day? You know, parking in particular in Oak Park is a big issue for people who are coming in for the whole day. If they don't live near public transportation or the train. The other thing is, how can we start to partner businesses and job share? So one business might need a food service person or a front desk person during the breakfast hour, and another business might need it during the lunch hour. How do we start to work with the high school, with Dominican, with Concordia, with getting students slotted into those sorts of areas? How do we work with recruiters? How do we work with marketing and advertising and getting businesses to talk to one another and see if they can just be job sharing? I mean, it's kind of like one of those old fashioned passe things, job sharing, but I think that there's a market for it now. And it allows there to be some flexibility, and it allows businesses to not have to commit 100% to full-time staff. So that's just one of the ideas that we're just trying to, distill down into being something that's, you know, is it reasonable? Is it marketable? Is it financially viable? You know, that kind of thing. But yeah, so hopefully we'll have something for you in the next couple of weeks. Kyler, I'm happy to send it to you for a review if we want to chat about it. You know,
that'd be awesome. I was just going to ask, I'd be happy to sit in that call or whatever you want to do. Yeah. Just send it to me and we can talk.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I mean, look, we're committed to engaging both of the villages. You know, there's businesses in both villages, and there's challenges and opportunities that are different and the same in each. So, I think it would be great to have that conversation.
You know, we're a small enough village. We don't have quite the bureaucracy that they have in Oak Park. Yeah, we should be really business friendly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, my thought is we should be able to get things done within this group and the board and with the Kathy. we should be able to get things done real easily without a lot of, you know, policy and pitfalls. So I would be great if 10 years from now, people look at River Forest as, yeah, they're not big, there's not a lot of density, but they work with you, you know, and they get things done for you. That'd be awesome. Because they don't have that, we don't have that in Oak Park right now, all the time. So
sometimes
it's not the chamber, it's, you know, sometimes it's a bigger community.
Yeah. They
have issues.
Yeah.
That's great. Any other thoughts there? Or just, this is something, it's an ongoing thing, but I love everything I just heard. And I think that's really creative and out of the box thinking there.
Yeah. I mean, one of the other things we're doing is we're also talking with John Harmon about looking at workforce development. I don't know if people know about that. It's really much more popular in the chamber world where there's areas of large industry, where you've got trades and training of trades. So workforce development is something that politicians love, chambers love, but you know, in this area, we don't have that much of a need of it. But what we do need are well-trained people to be working in food service industry and well-trained people to be working in retail or office environments. So how can we think about workforce development just differently? So wouldn't it be great if people, employees, young people, students, we could say, let's get them Bassett certified and food health safety certified so that when they go into a restaurant, they're fully trained. They just need to be trained in the processes and procedures of that individual business. The business doesn't necessarily have to invest a lot of time or money in getting them trained to be whatever certification is needed. Or if we can do customer service training, we can do stocking training, we can do front desk training, you know, that kind of thing. How can we be working with Dominican Concordia, the high schools, to sort of start a program like that where we look at workforce development in a much different way, because that's what our communities need. We just don't have big industry, but it doesn't mean that we don't need workforce development. So That's our other one.
Is there, I know, New Moms has some training that they do, and, you know, Housing Forward does some advocacy on the part of, you know, finding jobs, but I can't think of one nonprofit that works solely on that in the area.
Not that I know of. No, again, no. Something like I said, workforce development is so much more in the realm of manufacturing, and where the trades are needed. And so, yeah, I mean, in this area, it's, and the other thing is, I mean, New Moms does it, and I think it's fantastic. They definitely do. But if we can do it, we can scale it up.
Yeah.
That's the key in everything that we're trying to, that's what we're trying to work on tonight, is that we need to be able to scale it. This can't be a Band-Aid. Look, we have on our list, we've got a few Band-Aid solutions. We've got short, medium, and long-term solutions. You know, workforce development is more in the medium to long-term, but, you know, we all know this will happen again. Something like this is going to happen again. And what we need to do is have that safety net in place that we can pivot very quickly. And something like that, once it's in place, can pivot to be whatever it needs to be. You know, for example, I was talking with Roberto Corsi, who's the dean of the Brennan School of Business at Dominican. And they pivoted. One of the things that they did during COVID is they've got a whole new certificate program in healthcare management, which they never had before. And it's a whole new program. And, you know, now there's a real need for that kind of thing. So, you know, if something like workforce development can equally pivot that quickly, as long as the structure is in.
I think, yeah, Dominican's a great place to start. They're the only ones that I could think of that even has anything close. You might want to reach out to Tony at the Community Foundation. I don't know how often you talk with him. Yeah. He might be a good source of someone that might be able to help you there. I don't want to get too far down that train, but.
Sure. But anyway, I will present the whole list, you know, to you, Kyler, and if we want to talk about it in this meeting as well, that would be great. But, you know, we are trying to take the lead in coming up with some of these more innovative ideas. Because I mean, we've just, like you said, there's just nobody else who's trying to focus exclusively on this.
Yeah, and if you talk with any, whatever, labor is such a huge issue right now. I can't imagine.
We need drinks, Kyler, drinks.
Yeah, I'm sober, so.
Thank you.
Hey, Liz, I saw your email, and I apologize that I didn't see it sooner, but okay. do you want to, I think it would be great if we could get some direction from the Economic Development Commission on the holiday promotion.
I think we'd have to see numbers, right? I mean, we need to know how much we have. I thought we had 15,000. If that number, does that sound correct? That kind of help with this that we've been granted from the state?
Well, there isn't a hard and fast number that the village has set aside from the ARPA money that we received. We received about 1.4 million. We anticipate 1.2 million will be for lost revenue, but the board hasn't made decisions yet about that. So I think we have some flexibility here, and I know that the board is committed to using some portion of that money to support the business community. And so what it looks like the chamber is looking at doing is leaving it either open-ended up to $100 for every business who signs up, or commit to a $2,500 sponsorship, and the first 25 businesses who sign up would receive the subsidy. So those are some of the options that I think are available to us per Liz's email.
What do people think? I have my opinion, but I'm sick of hearing myself talk. Come on, don't make me call on you. All right, Tim, we're buds. I'm gonna go ahead.
Kyler, it sounded like you were initially starting off with what would have been a holiday promotion. Was that something? I didn't hear that, Lisa, when you talked about it. But was that something sort of a, you know, support small business holiday marketing piece that was something that was previously discussed?
What was previously discussed was helping to subsidize chamber membership for River Forest businesses that aren't already members, and to also help provide some relief to businesses that are already members by giving them a small amount of subsidy towards their chamber membership.
And so that the next thing, what was mentioned is the Wednesday Journal has like a, you know, holiday booklet. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So, you know, $10 off your first dry cleaning, whatever the case is, right?
Right.
So to help fund some of the advertisement for the different businesses that be interested in that.
Yeah, which sounds like a really good idea, actually. I mean,
agreed. I would agree, and I would not cut it off. You know what I mean? Like I would leave it open ended and advocate it, and hopefully everyone takes us up on it. I think we need to do whatever we can. If it's a matter of $5,000-$10,000, I don't want to, you know, see the forest through the trees sort of thing. You know, we got to help our businesses. If the board,
I agree. I think that's a better use than. I agree. I think that's a better use than just providing kind of a one-time payment, something where they get a credit, something in kind that hopefully could lead to, you know, greater return and greater volume.
Totally agree. You give someone money. I mean, I've seen it with PPP. People got PPP money and they close shop. It's fine. You know what I mean? Or they had great years. You know, we don't know business to business how people are doing, but I think that's, I like it.
I mean, I think it's important to note that the business still has skin in the game. I mean, this isn't free. So Lisa, I think you might have the information in front of you, but I think the way that we had the pricing structure is that if a business is a chamber member and they had $100 subsidy, a quarter page ad in the Wednesday Journal would be only $48. So, you know, it's a very reasonable amount of money, but they still have skin in the game. They still got to make the effort. They still got to pay the money. And so that's going to make people think twice, and it's going to make them make an effort to, you know, that the information they give us is going to be worthwhile. It's not going to be just do whatever, you know, we get a lot of, hey, go on my website, pick up whatever you want and make me look good. You know, if they're paying, which will happen, I'll tell you, that'll happen if you give it to them for free. They'll say, I want it. And you better make me look good. And if it's not right, then I'll be the one that's in trouble. And that'll be for free. But if they're paying for it, it's a totally different
scenario. They'll take ownership.
Yeah, they'll take ownership for sure.
I love it. I'm really happy with what I'm hearing, Liz, and the different ideas that the chambers come up with.
I was just one of the barriers we had talked about is that it can be cumbersome to run programs like this. This is obviously an easier version. So I am happy to volunteer to help with tracking or communicating or anything like that, if that is at all useful.
Thank you.
If you can give her an Excel spread to put together.
I know, I'm already thinking. I'm already thinking, Katie. Like,
I love a good Excel document.
You know, I know that, Lisa, you talked about money that's not earmarked. This happened so long ago, I can barely remember how it was funded. But years ago, 95, when we opened Prairie Bread Kitchen in Oak Park, we got a grant that was basically 25% of our signage that was paid, I believe at the time, by the village. You know, I remember hearing that the Village of Oak Park was challenging to work with and not business friendly, but that wasn't my experience at the time. It was really great. And again, you know, to motivate small businesses to come into River Forest and open up, I think another thing to consider is at some point, if we have that funding and we can earmark it that for that, you know, doing something like, yeah, we'll pay a percentage of your signage capped, you know, up to some amount.
Yeah.
I like that too. I mean, there's always a lot of focus on the developer, and that's that phase, you know, when, you know, like Lake and Lathrop and others, and there's usually a public perception that we've done too much for them already. But in the end, it's the end user. It's the tenant.
And that's what everybody cares about, and that's who generates the sales taxes, right? So,
and I think that's money well spent to say we're not helping. You know, yes, we're helping the developer in a way, but we're helping drive the right tenant here.
So, there are specific grant programs that you're aware of now that are available for something like that?
Is that a question for me? Am I aware of it?
For any of the members of the EDC, I mean, are there different programs that are still available? That you just know right off the top of your head that we could tap into for something like that?
No, currently I'm not. In fact, like I said, that was so long ago. I don't know if the village had earmarked, like the Village of Oak Park had earmarked funds and set it aside to encourage development, which is, I believe, was the case. And Liz, you may know if that's something that, if the chamber's aware of something like that in the village.
Yeah, I think it was sort of maybe a few iterations ago of their economic development, commission, committee, I don't know when it was back then. It was when they had a program, and I don't know where the money came from, that they were doing small business loans as well.
Yep, I was on that board with those small business loans.
Oh, right.
Yeah, doing those. even the grant thing is a pain in the ass because you got to go through all the stuff. You know, the person, and I'm happy to do it, would be Margaret Griffin. She's the CEO of SummerCore, which is a CDC that works with a lot of different grants, but also somewhat SBA related, and they're able to find money for different businesses in Illinois. Through different grants, you know, depends on the area. We're not going to get a lot, and you know, we're not low to mod income levels in River Forest, but there's some areas there where you can get grants for improvement of facades, you know, from the state. You know, they come back and they do up to $150,000 full recoup of any facade work. But there are things like that are out there, Wally, for sure.
Yeah, a lot of the facade improvement and usually signage and things like that are local incentives. Usually, like in my experience with municipalities, I'm working in Springfield, Massachusetts, and they have all that. They have a $10,000 grant for your facade improvement, or it could be used for signage and things like that. There are a lot of other grants. And again, I'm not as familiar in Illinois right now, but out of COVID and now, you know, there's a lot of... underutilized property grants and things like that are occurring. I don't know about Illinois, but in other states, they are state funded. Again, they take time to get, as everybody knows who's ever written grants or gotten funding. But there are things out there. There seems to be a lot more. I haven't looked into it for Illinois, but I know there are programs, particularly in other states, where it's driving some of the development.
I can reach out to SummerCore, and I know Joel over at Small Business Corp. They usually are, they're facilitators. They get some piece of it. You know, there's always a way to make money there. And there's some other people. There's actually pretty nice industries around just this aspect of getting money, federal grant money. I just met with someone, so I'll reach. Let me do a little bit of work there, and I can report back.
Yeah, I guess my point was, especially if you look at the packet and you look at what development opportunities that exist today in River Forest, whether it's Lake and Lathrop, you know, Lake and Park, Madison Street, those, they're all likely going to be new development. And clearly the village and this, you know, just engaging a commission like this is thinking, hey, proactively, how do we get these parcels developed? So I'm just saying, hey, maybe that next step is also, can we focus on what we can do for the tenants, you know, in addition to the developer, small things. Yep. And maybe they, you know, I wasn't thinking that we would kind of look for grants on their behalf. I was just wondering if we're going to get any kind of, you know, funding, federal funding, if we can earmark some of that for, you know, new business development.
I think that's exactly what we should be talking about in this committee. 100%. And then having something almost, you know, that we could, a packet, maybe not, but there's something we can go to the brokers, you know, who are out there, you know, on behalf of us and say, this is what they're doing. This is what they did over here. Here's how they can help, you know, things like that.
Well,
it might not make a deal, but it's not going to hurt it.
Yeah. And I know the ARPA funds, it's everybody's savior right now. And I know everybody's probably gobbled them up already or spent them three times, but they are being used creatively for a lot of different things. Again, we're using Springfield for acquisition of threat, call them threat properties, but you know, I mean, there's a lot of use. And I don't know how that pie has been divvied up, but if there's a means to, it's a great use you know, of those funds to promote economic development, which is what that's all about, you know, the recovery. So
there's this guy, I think his name is Walter, who's in an office at the state building right now, who will tell you there's about $50 million of unused state grants on an annual basis, something that will blow your mind. You know what I mean? Just because we're not tagged into it. So I think that's, anyways, I'm going to look into that myself, but I think that's things like that are, I think, are paramount to getting quality tenants in here.
And to your very first comments, and we do things differently and better in this commission and try to enhance what we do, is there a need to do almost an incentive committee? I don't want to volunteer everybody or myself, but, you know, something like that, where let's look carefully at what we can do in terms of incentives, what we can get on a federal, state, local level, some of the programs other people are doing, and then target that. You know, maybe there is a grant we go after that helps at some point. Again, some near-term tasks,
yep,
a near-term money, and then maybe longer-term, you know, because that incentives are key. It's making a lot of these things, a lot of these deals go. I mean, they're not penciling out on their own on many sides of the equation. So,
well, particularly as we try to get more proactive and target certain types of tenants for certain developments where we can go in with something to hopefully kind of seal the deal or bridge the gap or differentiate ourselves.
I
think, Tim, to your point, I think that would be a good subcommittee, but let's get some more information first so that we kind of know what we're looking at. But absolutely.
And it'd be great if somebody has kind of easy access to what other committees or other communities are doing, just so we're not starting from scratch.
Yeah. So Liz, anything you pick up there, and, you know, anything we find out, we'll share with you, of course. So there might be ways to say, I mean, hey, if we could help Oak Park. So let's get some more information there. I don't want to get bogged down too much, but, you know, those are the sort of things that ideally this commission is doing, you know, that's what we're being charged to do to a degree. I'll save it for other business. If anything else on four, otherwise I'll move on. Okay, next steps on Madison Street and North Avenue. Lisa, we were gonna talk a little bit more, but I know we have an LOI on Madison. They're going through their due diligence process at this point. Right? I mean, is there anything else we could share there?
Yeah, so there is information I can share if we go into closed session. Here's what I'll just tell you at a very high level. The village continues to have conversations with a prospective developer about a potential project at the Madison Street Quarter and the Madison Street TIF. There are not a lot of specifics because there's just some initial conversations about what we can do at that site. Potentially, they're putting their program together and the village is examining the options that we would have for the sale of the property. So the rest of it, I would put under a closed session. If we have time, we can go into that. And I think it would be wise if we could make some time at the end of the meeting to do that. But that's what I would share at this point.
Okay, I'm good with that. We'll do a quick closed session at the end and we can gather up anything else we have.
I'll have to send you all a separate link, a separate Zoom link for closed session. So just give me a minute to schedule that and I'll send it over to you via email.
Anything on North Avenue? I took a couple of videos of North Avenue. I would text them all to you, but I can't.
I know. I'm sorry to be Debbie Downer, but
I'll send out 8 little texts. It's not our best. It's not our best side. You know, in pictures, you make sure you have your right side. North Avenue is not ours. There's a lot there that we could probably. You know, there's like old apartment buildings that look like hotels. I mean, I'm not, you know, look, it is what it is. And certainly I'm not in favor at all saying anything close to like, you know, get rid of low income housing. I'm just talking about like, how do we pretty it up a little bit and make it so that there's a better benefit to those who are going to be living there. And the parking's an issue and there's just the retail that's there. The retail that's there is pretty solid, actually, to a degree. But I don't know. I just feel like we don't even look at it. I feel like we almost look at it as Elmwood Park to a degree and not River Forest that's on North Avenue, which is a shame.
There's been some empty retail space there now for a year and a half or so.
Yeah.
Across from the liquor store.
Benny's, yeah.
Yeah, across in River Forestside, obviously.
You're not talking about the Montessori school, are you?
No.
There's office space, old medical office that's vacant. There's next to Capri.
Yeah, there's been several that have remained empty for a period of time.
So, like, maybe I'm out of bounds here, but do we know who the owner is? Do we know who's marketing it? Do we know, I mean, if there's a vacant business in River Forest, I feel like this commission should know about it and we should be talking with, how are they marketing it? You know, are they just unreasonable? I mean, that happens. We know that. Who are they talking to? You know, I feel like as a group, we don't have, you know, and I'd love it to be JLL, to be honest with you. You know, someone we can just, you know, whomever, right? You know, like just someone that we can use. I mean, there's conflicts of interest there, right? But, you know, someone that we can use to go to and have you talk with these guys. You know, we need to.
You know, I think I agree, Kyler. I really, you know, I looked at the package today. And again, for the Madison Street parcel, it's really, you know, what's provided to this group is, it's buttoned up. You know, we know what parcels there are, what the village, who controls what, who the ownership are. Same with Lakin Park. Was there ever a review of every sort of vacancy on that stretch of North Avenue? And has anybody tried to put that together and list it and find the owners and everything? I mean, I know you kind of suggested that, but I'm just asking again, relatively new to this.
Yeah. Comprehensive plan identifies primary development opportunities and kind of secondary development opportunities. And so one of the things that this group had talked about is setting aside some time in a workshop. It has to be conducted an open session to dig into all of that. And we can pull out maps. We would all have to get together in a room because I just think this would be very difficult to do via Zoom. Yeah. And we can pull together in preparation for that information from the county assessor's records and the county recorder of deeds who owns that property.
Yeah, from my perspective, and I'm relatively close. I'm in the 1400 block. You know, it's just a mishmash of retail. Some of it that is doing well, and it's great to see the old Grandma Sally's now with Yoke, you know, kind of rebranded. There's a couple of retailers, you know, Capri is an absolute favorite. I hate to see that go ever. But that, yeah, there's clearly some vacancies there. They're old, tired buildings. They're limited parking. It's, you know, it's there's a lot of traffic on North Avenue, which sometimes is good and sometimes it's bad because of, you know, the challenge of just exiting and entering. So, I mean, I think it would probably be good. I agree, Lisa, if we had the opportunity as a group with more time to kind of look at those and then brainstorm, how do we promote, whether it's modifications to the access points or any kind of public property that we that might need improving, even if it's minor stuff like curb cuts and parkway, anything like that that we can do to kind of make that look better and help attract businesses. But I think, again, we have to do it in a way where we understand the opportunities and the limitations of some of those properties. You know, it's Lake and Lathrop, brand new development. Those spaces are going to be built for today's retail tenants, for example. But what's existing on North Avenue, some of it has a lot of challenges for retailers. So, you know, good for us to as a group to have a really good understanding of what all those spaces are and their, like I said, their limitations.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, and there might be people, you know, if we start talking with them that want to sell and that we can connect them with other people. I mean, that could be part of our charge here to, you know, maybe there's a couple that get put together and there's some opportunity for some, not strip mall, but some actual retail development where we're able to do some outside, you know, interior parking, you know, whatever. So we don't have the information in front of us. I'm trying to be careful with people's time as well and keep this at an hour to a degree. What can we do? I see, I don't know if Lisa's still there, but can we set up, you know, we're doing our next meeting date. Can we set a time? And maybe this is, you know, we got a lot going on with the holidays coming up. Maybe this is really, we set something up mid-January or something like that, where we're able to sit together in a room and have all the information in front of us. And if we could get that information in the next couple of weeks, we could do some research on it on our own over the next couple of months, identify the properties, you know, just being in the neighborhood sort of stuff, and then set something up for, I don't know, January, February, or something like that. It's not pressing. We have other pressing needs, but let's not forget about it too.
No, I agree. And I've been an advocate of that, I think, you know, for a while. And of course, now we're into the holidays. It is a little difficult, but I agree completely. I'd set aside time in January. I think it's important to do as a group. There's a lot of history and a lot of, you know, a lot of the development from the comp plans to other parcels and strategies behind the TIF and things like that, that I think would be good to just, you know, talk about, get so out there and then strategize.
I agree. I think it's new energy, new ideas, and, you know, it's sensitive to people's schedules, but I think we should try to schedule that as soon as time permits.
What information would we like? And I think I'm making work here for you, so I apologize. But what information would we like to know about those properties outside, you know, address, owner, current tenant, you know, use?
Well, you need zoning and size.
Sorry
about that.
Zoning and size.
Yeah, Bob, you took words right out of my muted mouth. Underlying zoning, approximate lot dimensions.
I think that'd be great if we can get that in the next month or something, or, you know, whenever. I don't want to, again, it didn't set up a meeting.
I'll share with everyone. I don't know if any of you saw this. The Tribune ran this months ago. But it was a very creative piece that they did about Michigan Avenue. And they basically combined a bunch of photographs together, and you could click on each photograph. And each one was an address on Michigan Avenue. It kind of showed like who's in there, who's, you know, retailers that are today operating, who owned the building. And then sort of, you know, an update on, because the focus of this piece was all about vacancy on Michigan Avenue and future retail development. I'd love to see us, and it would not be that hard to put something like that together for that stretch of North Avenue of River Forest from, Harlem going west. And certainly helpful for this group or anybody else to have that posted so that the public or developers could see, I can see what's there, what's available, maybe what the village would help promote in terms of redevelopment. I'll send a link. I'll send it to Lisa so that I'm not violating anything, and Lisa can then distribute it. trying to be careful here, but I don't know why there'd be an issue with that. But I think you guys all find that pretty interesting and easy to replicate. In fact, my retail team downtown has taken advantage of it and replicated it for our own listings. So something to consider.
No, I think something like that would be, depending on the simplicity of it, I don't want to,
It's simple. The toughest thing is just gathering all the information. But at the very least, we could always refer to it and say, hey, what was that site again? Just pull it up and look and go, it's that vacancy that is on the east side of the Capri Deli there.
Totally. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's great. That's the kind of stuff that I'd love to see, right? That's something you can use for five committees down the road, and just have that in some database and be able to pull it up. I think that'd be fantastic. Honestly, I'd love to have that for every commercial piece in the village, but we can see how it works for North Avenue. Maybe that'd be some sort of, pro forma on the project. That'd be great. You'll be able to send that. And maybe if you have one of your guys throw over a template of what they used.
I can do that. Katie, it looks like you threw in a chat that you may have already found the link to that article.
Of course you did.
I think so. It looks like it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
She already did the spreadsheet of all the tenants and vacancies.
Oh, man.
That's what I'm like. I will do that. I'm ready.
You're on Google Earth right now. No, I'm kidding.
Katie, do you want to see what we can do there? We could talk offline, with Lisa, but you don't mind gathering some of that data. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I have a start of it already. So I think going to this level of granularity, I would love to do that.
Well, God bless you. That's awesome. That's like the stuff I hate. So I'm glad you're on it.
Oh my God. I like squirreling things away and being organized. So I think that's a great task for me for January, and will also facilitate our discussions.
Perfect. Not to think too far ahead, but if we could have something like that for every commercial piece in River Forest, and we could send that to that's public, and we could send that to someone at JLL or something like that, whomever, and say here's what's out there.
I think putting that together with an idea, I would have to, when you say the comprehensive plan, Lisa, I think those are one House Seal worked on.
Yes.
Yeah. If we take a look at that, and if there's any aspect of that that we can combine with that that helps us promote new business development along North Avenue, all the better. And I think, again, any small incentives that we can just sort of float that are aimed at tenants, being in the business, retailer, they're going to make their decision based on the density and the incomes and the traffic and everything else. We're not going to convince them, but I think just demonstrating that we're business friendly and welcoming can make, that their decision of whether or not to move forward, because a lot of the higher income suburbs, retailers look at them and say, I'm going to get put through the ringer for my use permit and my signage and everything else. So if we can make sure that at least when these retailers or other businesses look at River Forest, they feel, that's a really business friendly village. They're trying to help me out. They're not trying to just restrict the heck out of me. So that's kind of where I'm going with that. And so, and I do think, again, having that type of data will just be helpful to us.
And I can tell you, and others can agree or not agree, but I think we'd all agree. River Forest, everyone involved in River Forest is pro-business here for the most part. You know what I mean? Well, as long as it doesn't, add a bunch of new residents or things like, there's issues that people bring up. But I think for the most part, we are pro-business. We're just not doing a ton about it, to be perfectly frank. Mm-hmm. But we have the idea in our head.
And there, other, there,
go ahead.
There was a, I think, Lisa, remind me, I thought under, I think on the website, there's a developer toolkit.
There's a new business starter kit.
Is there?
Yeah.
And it always struck me that it only goes so far. And I think that's where the tie into the EDC is, you know, is there a way to look at that? Because I think it should be on a website of sorts. We don't have our own, the EDC doesn't, but, you know, does the village have something that promotes that, that then packages it? I think where municipalities, the villages and cities fall down, they just, as Wally's saying, they're just more restrictive and thou shalt not do versus, you know, how can we help facilitate? And that's the message I think we do want to get out. And certainly the EDC can help, but it should be reflected in that developer toolkit or be updated or maybe call something else, but it's a developer tool where you can go in and see the properties, you can see the comp plan, you know, what the vision is, what the village would allow. You could see then the range of incentives. Hopefully we can find some, you know, that type of thing that just says, all right, here, let us help tee this up. And you have a ready and willing village to move it forward. I've always struck that thing that could be a useful tool. I know other villages, I know other towns use them, but again, it's a way to kind of package it and put it out there and then promote it. You could send a link to it to whomever, you know, somebody's interested, here it is.
If a developer came to us or a broker came to us and said, hey, is River Forest, you know, pro-business? Could you send me some information? We'd have nothing for them right now, right? I mean, and I'm not saying that not totally nothing. We'd have some things. We could send them our website, but nothing that's really directed towards them. It makes sense. And I think, you know, it might make sense that, speaking of John, we should maybe see if he's available to be in that meeting, because he was there when some of that stuff was created. Okay. All right, so I want to be mindful. Other business, I'll just be quick. One of the things I would like to speak about and talk about is our connections with other brokers and how we're communicating with them and what we're doing. I think it's something that we've had a select few that we've talked to. I think this all falls underneath the same umbrella, that what we're talking about is to have something that we can provide them. But I'm not sure, I haven't seen, at least in this committee, I don't know what's going on with the board and with, you know, the village itself. There are a ton of communication with actual brokers. Like, I feel like we're doing a lot of the brokerage as a village, which shouldn't be our job to a degree. We should be there to facilitate. So I'm glad we have Wally on the committee for sure, to give some insight there and just how we're talking with brokers in general, because they're the people who are they're the connectors in a lot of this.
It's tough. I get invited by every municipality you could think of in Chicago to meet with them or to take tours or to, you know, meet with them at the conventions and everything. And it's I think the biggest difference, I think, for me, what is when a municipality has their act together and they have identified those parcels, they have all the information about them, they share it with me in a way that I understand what's possible, what they're willing to be flexible on. That, and when then they have all that in a package, I don't need to meet with them and I don't need to necessarily go on a bus tour. So I'm just sharing my own information. That is something that's really attractive to me and to my clients. I probably didn't see it on the agenda, but the Lake and Harlem development with Whole Foods, I was going to ask about that just because I've tried to put some feelers out to try to find out what I could about Whole Foods' intention and whether or not they're holding it up based on the plans for the North and Harlem, you know, Amazon grocery, which I don't know that if it's completely finalized yet. But I was going to ask, has anybody heard any, and I have one update for you just about another retail leasing space, but has anybody heard any update about the Whole Foods and about leasing in that center?
No, there was the last time we had an update, I think it was in this meeting. It might've been a separate phone call. I don't have anything, but that's a really good question.
I mean, right now, retail, for all that you're hearing in the marketplace about, you know, the death of retail and, you know, what's working, what's not. I mean, there are some categories that are doing extremely well, and grocery and grocery anchored shopping centers are, you know, investors who are leaving retail assets and are going back if they can get grocery anchored centers. It should be an absolute priority of that developer to be trying to do a long-term lease with a grocer, Whole Foods, or some other. And, you know, good for the community and one of our biggest opportunities for sales tax revenue here. So to me, that is something that I keep thinking about and where I can add value that I want to. There's a little bit of leasing momentum. I just heard, if you had not, that Sweetgreen has signed a portion of the Pier 1 space across the street. It's a great sign. That is very positive for that intersection. And anything that happens at that intersection is going to be good for, you know, our side of it as well. So, I continue to try to work with my retail leasing team at JLL to find out information about that to bring to this group. And I'll share what I can. You know, there's that whole center needs a kick in the pants. I mean, they've lost momentum.
And that was actually, it was Mid-America, but there, I can't remember her name. There was someone that was managing it locally, I thought.
Mid-America has been, I think Mid-America continues to have the agency of it.
Yeah. And I thought there was closer eyes on it. Lisa, do you have any idea what the current holdup with Whole Foods is? I talked to someone at Whole Foods who actually is in charge of the Midwest, like redevelopment, you know, plans and specs, and they hate that property. It's their least favorite in all of Whole Foods, my understanding is. So I know they want to do something, but maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, so the Village had been in negotiations. We are not currently in negotiations with them. I know that they had re-signed Whole Foods to a lease, so I don't think Whole Foods is going anywhere anytime soon. I think it's something we'll be turning our attention back to, but at the moment, it's status quo. I think it's Stephanie Frazee has been, I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce her last name, has been our point of contact there. We are hoping we'll be able to attend an upcoming board meeting and provide the community with some information about what they're doing to get tenants in the Starbucks space, for instance, and what their plans are for the center.
Yeah. Well, I agree, Wally. That's
yeah. I'll follow up and I'll share what I can find out.
That'd be great. It's an entryway into the Village, and it's doesn't look great. I mean, yeah, we got our work cut out for us here, people. We didn't say this is going to be easy. So, the confirmation of next meeting date. I want to make sure that. First of all, apologies for the last meeting, but it just wasn't going to work out with everything that was going on at the Village. And I want to make sure that we do, you know, we are able to have Lisa in attendance. These days work for me. Wednesdays work for me, but I'm one of, you know, 10 here. Let me ask first, Lisa, is this a good time? Of the Village, because I'd like to start going into town hall and stuff like that. Would this be a good time for everyone?
Wednesdays are generally open.
Okay. Is this too early of a time? Is 5 okay so people can still do this? They can miss stay at work or, you know, before the evening starts?
Go on.
Sorry, I do want to mention, so you're able to meet remotely right now because of the emergency and the disaster declaration. But there's going to come a point where we will move back under the typical reasons why you would not be able to attend in person. And I think those come down to basically health and travel for work. But I have to have a physical quorum present in order to allow someone to participate remotely. So when you select your date and time, I think you should do it with the notion that you're going to have to return in person at some point. So if you wanted to start at 5:30 instead of 5, or 6 instead of 5, just keep that in mind.
Yeah, we could always fluctuate a half hour here or there, but in general.
My general thought is to try to do it at 6 would work best for me, but open to suggestions from others. And five
I'll agree
is,
with that. Six is better for me.
Yeah, six is better. Five's tough. And the issue with Wednesday was always people traveled, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if you're traveling. Again, that's curtailed some, but I know people are getting back into that. So, but again, open to, I can make it work right now. Mike travels sporadic, so.
Would it be helpful to try to move to later in the week? Maybe, I don't know, at least the Thursday at six, so.
You run into, so the first and third Thursdays of the month are typically set aside for the development review board. So you would just have to conclude no later than 7 p.m. Now, some of this may change once the new village administrator comes on board, because the issue with me right now is I'm staffing both groups. So I would think that starting in, December or January, the issue may not be me. And I really do apologize. I hate to be the rate limiting step, but first and third Thursdays are DRB. The second Thursdays are Zoning Board of Appeals. The fourth Thursdays are Historic Preservation. So Thursdays are usually pretty heavy at this point.
Yeah. So my suggestion would be that we go Wednesdays at 6 o'clock and adjust kind of as needed based on people's schedules and availability.
I'd buy that.
Yeah.
Same here.
Okay. So then your next meeting would be Wednesday, December 1st.
I'm just checking my schedule. I think that sounds fine to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know I cannot make that, unfortunately, but.
Yeah, I think I may be traveling as well. I should be able to call in. Do we want to try to push it a week?
I can do the 8th.
I can do the 8th.
Okay, let's do the 8th.
I can do the 8th.
Do that.
We just double check our facilities.
Okay, and then the next one we have, we had the workshop meeting date. We're tentatively planning on sometime in January, but we'll try to get some of this information together. Katie, maybe reach out, Lisa and I or whomever. We can kind of come up with a game plan, or Wally, if he has that template on what we want to do there. I think I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about all this, to be honest with you guys. I think we're headed in the right direction. Do we still want
Kyler,
to go?
Kyler, we haven't touched on Lake and Park. Is there any update?
Good question. We didn't have it on here.
Oh, sorry. There's no update from the last meeting. The village, the developer that the village had selected through that RFP process has tried to engage in conversations with the property owner regarding the acquisition of, what's that address there? Is it 7777 Jack Strand's property?
Yeah.
To see if he would be willing to sell, if he would be willing to do a swap of parking lots to create a contiguous site for development. And unfortunately, those efforts have just not been fruitful. And so, I don't have any new updates to share with you at this point.
And the same holds true with the swapping of the parking lots with him.
Yeah, he's not interested in that.
He was, and then he wasn't.
Yeah, the last conversation I had with him is that he's not interested.
And losing the swap, I think, would really curtail the whole development.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It wouldn't be together.
Yeah, you couldn't do anything if you didn't have that one middle parking lot.
Unless well, you don't have a contiguous site. Right, yeah, you don't have a contiguous site at that point.
Two things. One, could we have, when we're doing the agendas, let's just keep everything on the agenda. And if there's nothing to update, we could just skim over it. Because I agree, I think it's good to have, we know what these four or five things are, and that should be one. I feel like when things are on the agenda, people think about them a little bit more. Does anyone know Jack very well? Does anyone want to have that
conversation? I'm going to talk to Lisa tomorrow, and that's all I'm going to say now.
Okay, good. I figured you're kind of the person I was looking at there. thanks, Bob. All right. That's great. We'll set up a meeting. Did we still want to jump into executive session? Did you send something out so that we could just talk real quick about?
Yeah, I did. I do want to just take a moment. There was a comment in the chat from a resident regarding why is the Madison Street development information secreted from the residents whose property is specifically subject to the TIF. So a couple of things. Number one,
she jumped, by the way.
I know, but I understand, but I think it's fair to try to answer the question. So number one, the village is in negotiations. Those are eligible for some parameters of those negotiations are eligible for closed session discussion because they relate to the setting of price for property, which is kind of a strategic point for the village. Ultimately, the point I want to emphasize is that when discussions are preliminary, this is, this is customary for the village. When there's information to share with the residents, we certainly will. And I want to be clear that there are no developments. There are no redevelopment agreements. There are no approvals that are granted without full public vetting. So any redevelopment agreement that the village enters into with any entity regarding any development site in the village has to be approved by the village board of trustees in open session. All of that information must be disclosed to the public prior to the board being able to take action. Further, any development that goes on in River Forest requires the consent of the property owner in order for any development application to be filed. And then any development on that site, because of the size of the site, and particularly if it were to include, let's call it a mixed-use development with multifamily, that's subject to the village's plan development process. And there are multiple touch points throughout that process where residents have an opportunity to hear more about the development, to have conversations directly with the developer regarding the potential impact of that project on the individual property owners. There are public hearing notices, there are neighbor meeting notices, there are board meeting notices. There are no initial meetings that are held once we get to a point where we understand what that program is going to look like and they're going through the zoning entitlement process. There are no meetings that are held with the developer that the neighbors can attend that isn't already noticed to the neighbors. The point I'm trying to make here, and I guess I could say this probably a little bit better, is the resident meeting that they're going to be required to have or that any developer will be required to have, the public hearing and the board meeting where any action is taken once they're in the zoning entitlement process. The developer is required to send notice to those property owners at least 15 days in advance of the neighbor meeting and the public hearing and at least 7 days in advance of the village's board meeting. So the point being that any of these actions that are taken, they are robust with opportunities for resident input and participation. And all of these actions are taken in open session under the Open Meetings Act and the public is available to attend. Or obviously allowed to attend.
I mean, I can't even text more than two of you guys. So I think there's policies on that. Thank you for sharing all that.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I did send an email out to the addresses that I typically used for the economic development with the closed session link. So if everyone got that, then what we can do procedurally, what we need to do is make a motion to go into executive session to discuss the setting of price for sale for real estate owned by or real property owned by the Village of River Forest.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So just to be clear, so we're going to close out this Zoom call. We will adjourn after we leave closed session. We will not be returning into a Zoom call with open session. But to be clear, there is no action being taken after executive session other than for the meeting to adjourn.